Christ is among us.
He is among us, shall be.
Did you ever have a family meeting with your family at home? What do you think? Did your mommy and daddy ever tell you, you know, we have to talk about something. Let's sit down and talk about something. That's a family meeting, okay? That's a family meeting. And what did you talk about?
Where should we go today?
Where we should go today? Yes, sometimes we talk about that. You know, we have some time that we could spend together and we say, okay, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? What else? What else did you talk about, you know, with your parents? Maybe about school? Did you talk with them about school? And how things are going in school? I think you do. What about activities? How activities are going? Yeah? What else? When you had to move from one place to another, did you talk about the move? Yes, of course. When you had to buy something very important, when you had to buy a house or a car or something, did you talk about that? We talked about that before you were born. Because your mommy wanted a car with a sliding door for the car seat. But families get together and they talk about important stuff that's going on in the life of that family. They talk about how they could grow, how they could do better in school, in activities, at work, how they could, you know, get another house. If they consider that they have to move to another place, they talk about that. They talk about, buying stuff, and then they talk about how could we accomplish this? Because, you know, like I remember, you know, talking with you about activities, you know, talking with my daughters about activities. You know, Daddy, we would like to do this and this and this. Okay, let's see what we can afford. Okay? We also have to talk about money. Because for any activity, even if you stay home and you just breathe, you still have to eat. And you have to buy food. So for, you know, we also have to find the means, the money, for doing whatever we want to do. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now I want to tell you that it is the same in the life of the church. The church is like a big family. We have about 150 people in our family. It's a big family. And like a family, once in a while, we get together and we talk about our life. Today, we are going to have one of these meetings. Today, we'll have a general assembly, the fall general assembly of our church, of our parish. After Agape, after we eat, after your Sunday school, and after we eat, we'll have our fall general assembly, when we'll come together as a family and we'll see, first of all, how the last few months were in the life of our church. We'll see how we are doing, and then we'll see how we could do better, and then we'll talk about the resources, the money, the means that we need to do what we think that we should do during the next year.
Build the church.
What else do you think we should do next year? Because today we are going to vote on a budget. Do you know what a budget is?
It's like a piece of money that you want to devote to something.
It's like what?
It's a piece of money that you want to give to something.
Yeah, you're pretty close. A budget is about money. Okay? You know that you have that much. Let's say you have only $1,000, but you have to eat, you have to go to school, you have to go to church, you have to do activities. There are so many things that you have to do, and you have $1,000, and then you decide how much you spend of the $1,000 for each activity, for whatever you need. That's another thing that we are going to talk about in the General Assembly today. We are going to talk about the budget for 2017, the budget for next year, to see how much we need for what we want to do, and then to find the ways to raise the money, to find the ways, you know, to have the money for the activities that we want to do in 2017, so that we'll get closer and closer to God. We'll become more loving, we'll become more prayerful, we'll have a more beautiful church, and whatever we need to get closer to God. So I wanted you to know about this, because guess what? In about 10 years, some of you could be on parish council. In about 10 years, you'll be the ones to run the church. You'll be the ones who'll have to make these decisions for the church. So you have to learn from now how to make decisions for yourself and for the church, so that we could grow together, get closer and closer to God. And talking about this, I know that you have a budget. I know that every Sunday you are giving from whatever you have or whatever your parents give to you to give to the church, and you take the collection and you have a budget. Did you have a meeting about your budget, about the money that you collected and how you want to spend them? We should have a meeting soon to talk about that, to see how much you have in your budget and what you want to do with the money you are collecting every Sunday. Okay? To see how we could use your resources, your money, for the growth of the church. Okay? Thank you very much. God bless you. Christ is among us.
He is and always shall be.
Beloved faithful, it is very interesting to see how the devil fools us around, but in different ways. It is very interesting to see how when we follow our will, when we don't follow the revelation of God, the devil fools us around in different ways. And that this also happens in the life of the churches. It's very interesting to see how, because the Roman Catholic Church spoke about fasting and ascetic life in the Middle Ages in a very legalistic way, the Protestants went the opposite way, and they said, you know, we don't need fasting anymore. They don't talk about fasting anymore and ascetical practices. It's just about faith and grace. You don't have to do anything. It's just about faith and grace. So the Protestants don't preach about fasting, but they preach a lot about tithing and giving to the church. In the Orthodox Church, we preach a lot about fasting and praying, but we don't say very much about giving to the church, about tithing. The Protestants don't speak about fasting because they don't want to offend people, because they know that it's not easy to fast. And people don't want to hear about that. They want to hear about grace and being saved by God, and that's it. You don't have to do anything. Just accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and everything is okay. I can take that. People want to hear an easy message, easy salvation, the easy way. Now, the Lord told us that the way to salvation is narrow, not wide and easy. In the Orthodox Church, on the other hand, the devil fools us around in a different way. We don't preach very much about tithing, about giving to the church, about giving to the Lord, because once again, for the same reason we don't preach about this, because we know that people don't like it. It's not their favorite subject. And believe me, it's not my favorite subject either. especially because I'm well aware of the fact that part of that money goes towards my salary. And it's not easy. It's not easy for me to stand here before you and to preach about giving to the church when I know very well that part of that money goes towards my salary. I don't want people to think that I'm preaching about this because I need my salary. I'm going to preach about this today because this is what God revealed to us. I'm going to preach about this to you today because it is part of the revelation of God, and God revealed to us that by giving of what He provides for us in the first place, by giving a part of it back to Him, by doing that, we become more like Him. We become more loving. It is part of our process of deification. It is part of the process of becoming like God. So, today, I'm going to speak to you about what the Bible reveals about giving from what we think that are our resources to God. What the Bible reveals from the very beginning is that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, many people think that the church is a spiritual reality. There is nothing earthly about the church. It is very true that we say in the cherubic hymn, "Let us lay aside all earthly cares so that we may receive the King of all." We are called in the liturgy to forget about the earthly cares so that we could receive the King of all. But we should not forget that in the beginning, God created the heavens, the spiritual world, and the earth, the material world. And God saved us by becoming one with us, by assuming our material body and by becoming one with us. Last night at the mini retreat about icons, we spoke a little bit about this, about the transcendent God becoming God, becoming part of the immanent, becoming part of the creation. Matter is not evil. Matter was created by God, and according to the Bible, the creation was given to us by God to sanctify it and to give it back to Him. God planted the Garden of Eden, and then He created human beings to take care of His creation, to sanctify it, and to give it back to Him in thanksgiving, Eucharistia. And when humans refuse to do that, when humans try to follow their own way and their own desires, the connection broke between God and humans. What the Bible also reveals about giving to the Lord, we have another beautiful passage in the book of Genesis, chapter 14, when Abraham was victorious in a war, and then he was welcomed by Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace, who was a priest of the Most High God. This Melchizedek was a very enigmatic figure. He appears only in this place in the Bible. But anyway, Abraham gives him 10%, a tithe of everything that he had, he gives to Melchizedek as a thank you to God for being victorious in that war. And this set a precedent for giving 10% of what you, of what God gave to you, to give 10% back to God. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, it is said, "Now all the tithe of the land, whether seed of the land or fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." 10% of what God gave to you, you give back to God to make it holy, to dedicate your work to the Lord, to unify it with God. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 26, it is said, "Speak thus to the Levites." The previous verse says, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak thus to the Levites and say to them, if you receive from the children of Israel the tithe which I give you from them as your inheritance, then you shall remove from it the Lord's choice portion, a tenth of the tithe." So not only the people were asked to give 10%, but also the Levites, the servants of the temple, were living from the 10% that the people would give to the temple. They themselves were asked to give 10% to the Lord. Everybody, not only the people, also the servants of the temple were asked to give 10% of what they received to give it to the Lord. In the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, in the Sermon on the Mount, He spoke about giving alms, fasting, and praying. And the first one was giving alms, and how to give alms. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, He tells the people the spirit in which they are supposed to give alms. They are called to give alms. And it's very interesting that before speaking about praying and fasting, He speaks about giving alms. The order is important because God wants us to become like Him, to become as loving as He is, as we heard in today's gospel. How could you pray? How could you fast if you don't give first, if you don't give up yourself and of your possessions first? That's the first act of becoming more loving, more sacrificial. Of what I have, I give some to those in need. I give some to a good cause because I want to become like God. And then I could pray, and then I could fast. But first of all, I have to make a personal sacrifice. And then I could start praying and trying to become one with God. So in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, the Lord says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do it, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." Do not blow the trumpet when you do a charitable work. "Oh, I gave so much to the church, I want my name put, you know, I don't know where, because I want everybody to know that I gave that to the church." The right hand should not know what the left hand is doing. Do it in humility, do it secretly, do it so that nobody knows. Give it to the Lord. If you want to have communion with God, if you want to have praise from the people, that's a different story. If you want to have communion with God, do it for God's sake, do it for love's sake. In the Gospel of Luke, we are told about the women who followed Jesus from Galilee and who ministered to him, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. These women followed the Lord and the disciples from Galilee towards Jerusalem, and from their means, they were supporting the ministry of the Lord and of his apostles. Talking about another very sacrificial woman that is given to us as an example by the Lord in the Gospel of Mark this time, chapter 12, In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 44, the Lord tells us about the Lord sees people coming and putting money into the treasury of the temple. And some people put a lot of money, because they were very wealthy people, and they put a lot of money. But a woman came, and she put two coins, two very small coins. But the Lord knew, being God, he knew the situation of that woman. And she gave everything. And the Lord said, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. She said, Lord, this is all I have, and I give it all to you. This is another meaning of giving to the Lord. The idea that I trust you. Sometimes we feel that, you know, I'm struggling and that I don't have enough, you know, to fulfill my needs. If we give to the Lord, it is a sign of our faith that we put our trust in Him, that He will provide for us. Like that widow who gave to Elijah the flour and the oil, the little bit of flour and the little bit of oil that she had left. She was ready to make a cake of that, to eat it with her son, and to die of starvation after that. And Elijah went to her and said, give me the flour and the oil that you have. And she said, there's only so much left, but I'll give it all to you. And then guess what? The flour and the oil never ended. They never had a full jar and a full bottle, but that much, every day, God provided for that widow, until rain came. It is a sign of putting our trust in God that He will provide. In the Acts of the Apostles, we are told about the finances of the early church, of the first Christian community in Jerusalem. How they survived and how they created their budget. They sold everything they had, all of them. They sold everything they had, they created a common bank account, and then together they decided what to do with the money they had together. They put everything in one pot, and then together they would look after the widows, after the orphans, they would look after the needs of everybody in the community. Now, again, of course, you know, nowadays it is very hard to do this. In the monastic communities, they still do that. For us in the world, it is harder to do that, but we could still take the idea of coming, putting everything together, and then together to decide what we do with what we have in common. It is about becoming one. One soul, one body, one spirit of the church. And then St. Paul, in the second letter to Corinthians, in chapter 9, has some beautiful words about giving. They were taking a collection for the church in Jerusalem, and he tells the Corinthians, But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Give, and God will provide. Do not sow sparingly, sow plentifully, and God will provide for you, and be a cheerful giver. This is the most important aspect of giving. Give with joy. Not out of guilt or because somebody else gave I don't know how much and I feel that I should give more or whatever. No. Give from the heart as much as we can and with joy because God loves a cheerful giver. Because again, after a few other words, in the end of this passage, in the end of chapter 9 of the second letter to Corinthians, St. Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Whatever we give as a sign of our thankfulness to the Lord. That's what the first Christians did, and that's what we are called to do. The first Christians would bring their offering on Sunday, a small portion, or whatever portion, of their strength, of their work of the week, and give it to the Lord on Sunday, so that their whole work, their whole life, will be sanctified and unified with God. And this is what we are called to do, with joy, in love, for the glory of God. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.